The following episode of Footy Prime the Podcast contains violence, coarse language, talking of shite, full frontal nudity, and adult scenes. Listener discretion is advised. BetMGM, the place for soccer in Canada, presents Footy Prime.
Oh, let's go!
Footy, footy, it's time to get this party started. It's the footy, footy, it's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, and your drinking JC. All we know and all we talk about is footy, footy. It's time to get this party started tonight.
82, man, that's pretty impressive, bro. I'm not a golfer by any stretch, but 82? That's decent, right?
Yeah, second round of the year.
Not bad, Greg. Well
Very
done.
Good.
Today's a day, by the way.
It's my happy place.
Yeah, it golf is. Course. It is.
Oh,
yeah. Outside of Brian.
Day, good friends.
Mm-hmm. And Wunger.
Average dinner. Yeah, most of them.
So today's the day we think we're going to learn about the goalkeeper who's going to be between the sticks. To start the World Cup, at least. Probably to end the World Cup. It's rare that you make a switch during a World Cup as a goalkeeper. We think it's today. There's a press conference at 2:15 here in Montreal with Jesse Marsh and a player. I wonder if that player will be a goalkeeper. That would be interesting.
Mm.
Maybe the number two, just to make things awkward.
Very awkward.
Weird. But we'll find out more about that and injuries as well. But we've got a ton to get to regardless.
But before that, Sharns, before that, what do we have?
We have Anaïs Raymond.
No, and also?
I'm getting to it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Can you stop trying to schedule the show?
I don't know if you'll always remember.
I do often forget, admittedly. But give me at least 3 minutes of the show. If it's not the first 3 minutes, then you can say, hey, Sharns, you may have forgotten something.
All right.
And you are a bit
we're on
crackly.
Patreon. Am I crackly?
You are crackly, yeah.
Is this hotel internet, probably? I'm not kidding.
Yeah, it could be. I'm going to give you that.
Yeah. Well, if it's bad enough, just tell me and I'll go out and come back.
No, no. I think you're good now. It's weird.
Okay.
It's a weird opening, but good.
It's a very weird opening. BetMGM, the place for soccer in Canada, presents Footy Prime. Is that what you were asking about?
I just want to
make it legendary.
No, thank that's you. The end. That's a closer. That's the end.
Okay,
one.
But they both work.
Your one-stop shop.
Yes. All your sports betting needs. You got your over-unders. We got your totals. We got your parlays. We got it all here on BetMGM. Hey, Asa Roman's here joining us in lieu of Jimbo Brennan. Hey, Asa.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Happy to be here. Amazing. Looking forward to this.
Amazing. So yeah, as I mentioned, we have this this press conference today. So you know, there's no point in getting too much into who's it going to be. It's pointless, in fact. Fonzie's caused a bit of drama. Well, Fonzie hasn't caused a bit of drama. I don't think Fonzie's done anything wrong at all, actually. Regarding his availability for the start of the World Cup, he spoke to the media yesterday, which we were quite surprised. But he spoke, and I think he was quite honest. He was dancing around some of the questions, which is understandable. This coming off a clip that the Sid Sixero show dropped the day before. And since that clip, it's been pulled, and Sid was asked very politely by Canada Soccer to not run the interview until a later date. The media's been silenced. The man has got, it's like the States, it's like CBS and wherever it is in the States. They've got to the people. No.
Can we also silence Sid on the Habs? Can we tell him to stop talking about the Habs?
Did he have a hot take on the Habs by chance?
He did, yeah.
It rankled Dubs, though. It rankled her. She answered back on Twitter. So yeah. It was,
yeah. And people are like, don't acknowledge him. I didn't know.
Yeah.
This is what Sid loves, this stuff. This is what he does. It's good. It gets people upset.
Yep.
But the Fonzie thing, so what Fonzie essentially said was that he won't be available for the first match. And we can't be having that, apparently, because you can't be saying that. I don't understand the commotion here. By bringing attention to it, it's now... Didn't Jesse Marsh say the exact same thing last week?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I
pretty much.
I completely agree. The whole thing feels a little overblown. Like, I think when we first learned about the injury, kind of understood what was going on here with the hamstring and his history... of the injury, and then you look at the World Cup with the timing of it all. To me, he's sort of in this break glass of, in case of emergency type scenario. We know he's a special player. He's a difference maker. He's our captain, most talented player, and so dynamic. And I think you kind of go week to week or go match to match with Canada and his availability. So that first game, I don't think was really on the table, because the worst thing, the worst case scenario is that he feels it, pulls it, has the injury in the World Cup, because then it's done, right? There's no coming back from that. The second he feels or it goes in the tournament, it's done. He's not coming back. So yeah, for me, it was kind of get through that first game. You get a draw, you get a win against Bosnia, which I think this group is capable of doing. Then you push it. Then you've got Qatar. I think a favorable matchup, one that you feel like you should get a result without Alphonso Davies. Now you get, yeah, if you pick up 4 to 6 points in those first two games, you don't necessarily have to play him in that third one. You feel pretty good about your chances. That's your game where you kind of, you get him off the bench, you get him those minutes potentially, depending how he's feeling at that point. And now we're, you know, what, like 2 months since the injury happened at that stage. And it's a totally different scenario. He's had the minutes, he's had the training, he's doing more of the high knee stuff or whatever he's doing at training.
Those were sublime marches, weren't they?
Yeah. Tons of that stuff. And we're like, okay, now he can give us 15, 20 minutes. We can see what's going on there. Hopefully everything goes well. And then you get into the knockout round, and that's where you have your guy hopefully ready to start or come in at halftime or whatever it is. I think that was kind of how we saw it when the injury happened, right? This sort of scenario, Knowing the matchups that Canada has at this tournament.
So let me get this right. Sorry, yeah. Charles, let me get this right. So he said, you think in that sit interview that was polled that he not available for the first game, that's all he said
essentially, and I think he alluded to the fact he wasn't sure about the rest of the World Cup. I don't care what the people think or heard or the opponents heard. Who cares? If he's available, he's available, and we'll find out. And what a nice surprise, including for the opposition. I just don't know why it was blown up into this thing. We're pouring gas in it now ourselves.
You have to talk about it. I think it was a bigger story internally because it differed from what the plan was PR-wise. What are we saying publicly for his return? And then he is honest, which you want a player to be, especially somebody like Alphonso Davies, who's a star. He's being pushed in front of the microphone, being asked by Jesse Marsh to take on more of a leadership role in terms of being that forward or that public facing, face of the team. And I think he's done well in doing it. And now he's honest. He's speaking off the cuff and is almost being penalized for it. And as you said, it's an even bigger story than it would have been. Maybe a couple of outlets would have latched onto it. But as you said, Sharms, it doesn't really differ at all in the messaging from Jesse Marsh publicly. Mm. So, yeah, I think it's way too overblown now.
Yeah. And they drew that attention to it. Otherwise, we wouldn't even be talking about it. Seriously. Mm-hmm.
Well, isn't that a good ploy? I'm just saying.
Imagine that.
Looking at it the other way, mm-hmm. the Alphonso Davies either or will he or won't he, is actually good for Canada soccer and media. We're talking about it. Everybody else is talking about it. Yeah. And hey, maybe Canada Soccer Marketing and Comms went out of their way to make this seem like a bigger deal.
Like a double agent.
Distractions from something else.
Exactly.
There's a huge scandal behind the scenes.
That's right.
Trying to keep under the covers. Let's throw Funzie to the flames here.
Exactly.
Let him deal with it. I just really hate any time the media's message is controlled, especially when it's a non-rights holder. I mean, I don't know the details of this, who said what to whom. Sid did address it on his show on Tuesday, talking about how people he respected came to him, asked this, and he's fine to do it. I don't think he's fine to do it. I think it really pissed him off, quite honestly. But he did, and that's up to him. But it's controlling the message. I get it from an association standpoint. They all do it. Every club does it. Every team does it. You have to a certain point. But trying to silence and muffle the media doesn't wash well with me, put it that way.
Well, especially when, as Dubs was saying, like nothing seems awry with what his comments were. They seem fairly consistent to what Jesse Marsh said. And even if they were a little different, I think what we got from Jesse Marsh was, hey, to Ace's point, he's in the glass, and you have to pull down on the lever, and we hope it works. You know, it's not just going to come off like at a cheap hotel. these are these things that when Jesse was talking, that's what I inferred from his conversation, from his comments.
Well, let me ask you,
we're
this.
Hoping for the best.
Yeah.
Which player, Asa, which player seems the furthest away from match fitness right now and availability? It's Fonzie, is it not?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's Fonzie.
Yeah, yeah. From the whole group, it's Fonzie.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a guy training by himself right now. He's That's the furthest right. away. I asked that. Remember that great question I asked last week to Jesse Marsh? You know, that really great question. How long, how deep must Canada go in the World Cup to be fully healthy? And he said he thinks hopefully the first knockout game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let me do some math here. Who's furthest away from being match fit? Alphonso Davies. How far must they go to be fully healthy? Knockout phase. That suggests to me that he's not healthy for the first game. At least.
Yeah.
Christ almighty.
Yeah.
It's not a big deal. It's happening.
And that's what he said. Yeah. That's what Alphonso Davies said.
Yeah. If he said, listen, you know, if he said in an interview, listen, I got no chance.
Yeah.
I'm not playing in this World Cup. Sure. I would understand that. Maybe you don't want that out. Mm-hmm. The fact that he just said, yeah, well, I don't know if I'll be ready for the first match. It just doesn't make any sense. Because that's what we know.
Yeah.
But that's what you have with Fonzie, right? You've got this incredibly talented, one of the best players in the world that you can just drop into a team that's going to be surging into form with everybody else is getting healthy. And so if you've measured the expectations and then you have the ace up your sleeve and Alphonso Davies maybe playing higher up the pitch because, you know, you've got somebody like a Prizo or a Bessong or somebody on the back line, and you've left an opening maybe for Fonzie to come in for 20 minutes and blow the doors off Switzerland, best case scenario, or whoever your opponent is in the round of 32. Holy shit. Like, that's fucking great, isn't it?
Maybe the USA. Could be the USA, you know, in that round of 32.
You've got the Fonzie element of surprise.
Yeah.
And then maybe Portugal. And let's not get ahead of ourselves here. Now, Asa, you've been like, I don't know if you get paid by the Prizo people or the Badwell people. I'm not sure. But you've been all over this saying, listen, you idiots, there's no choice to make here. Clearly it's Ralph Prizo. He's a guy you got to come in to fill the void of Marcelo Flores, even though obviously, you know, different player, different position. You're adamant about this, aren't you?
I think Prizo deserves to be in this group. I don't know if it's necessarily, at the Flores replay, obviously different players there, but he deserves to be in this 26. I think he's shown, how he can kind of play in different positions, but his center back play, and we've talked about it on the show, like, over and over again as well, because I do get paid by the Prizo mention. And he gives him something different. I think he's got the speed to catch up on the recovery runs. I think that the passes that he plays, and we saw it on the left side, I was curious to see how he would play at this left back position, because I don't see him as an overlapping run type guy. He's not an up and down the wing type player. The center back setup seems to suit him quite well. But yeah, on that left side, he was kind of threading the passes through, pushing down the line for Jaden Nelson, had great chemistry with Nelson on the left side. So I think that he gives him something different. He looks like he's ready to go. He's getting the minutes as well. And that second half was great. I think Forrest mentioned it as well. A couple shows ago, you guys were talking about how, you know, the second half, the players played with something to prove, and he was one of those guys. And I think that he showed enough once again in another position that he could be an asset for this team. And he should be the Jeevan Bodwell one. I think it was more the 32. It's kind of into camp. He's one of our young players that has something to offer. And I would just love to see him kind of in the mix here. And I think he will be part of the plan going forward. If he was maybe doing what he's doing this year, last year, he would have been in the mix a little bit more. But I think when it comes to these Whitecaps players, I see them more than anyone else. So I see what they can do. And I think I just try to put that out there and show, or just share with others, you know, the quality of those two players in particular. I think they're having great seasons with the Caps.
Yeah. Stand by it, Asa. Stand by it.
Yeah. Much Eastern bias. I got to
stand up for
the West Coast.
No. I think there's a lot of love for Prizo out here as well. No one would be against that selection if it's the case. No one. But a lot depends on the state of those other center backs and defenders, where they're at. I wouldn't put too much stock into the 11 on Friday, quite honestly. There are practice matches scheduled as well for these guys to get some minutes behind the door, closed doors. Right. So if you don't see an Alfie Jones or a Moise Bembido, you know, tomorrow, I wouldn't be too worried. I mean, okay, be worried. It's obviously a concern that a week out they can't play a game. I get that. But there is a game, I think, scheduled, for Saturday.
I believe. Against Vermont Green.
Vermont, yeah, exactly.
That's that USL team, the USL team, Vermont Green?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'm curious about the Alfie Jones situation. I think Moise is way up here, right? Like, he's a special player. He's a starter. He's the number one in the group as far as center backs go. I'm curious to hear you guys' thoughts on, like, where Alfie is and then his injury and return to play schedule. And I would almost take Prizo over Alfie potentially, because I feel like they're closer and Prizo's closer to sort of full fitness and being able to contribute. So if we like went down the list, I think Prizo could give you more at the moment than Alfie, from what I've seen, just because based off of minutes and where they're at and then their skill levels as well.
Mm. I think you've got to see Joel Waterman, Craig. You've got to see Joel Waterman tomorrow, I think, because if Alfie and Moise are a little bit, we're not quite sure right now. All right, you've got to start looking ahead to next Friday. Okay, who will be available to start that game? Luke DeVigerol. Okay, let's put him in there. Derek Cornelius. And then who's your third? If it's not Prizo, right? And Joel got in there over Ralph Prizo. So you think at this point, Joel's the third choice if those other guys can't go.
Mm-hmm. I mean, right. Alfie Jones, wasn't he just standing in flip-flops yesterday?
In his trainers. Yeah. Now, not flip-flops is more concerning than if it was trainers. Trainers suggest maybe he's going for a jog, right? If you're wearing flip-flops, like, he ain't even moving. That's a big concern for me. You can tell a lot from the footwear.
Right. What if it was Crocs? More concern.
I wouldn't pick him if he wore Crocs.
He's retiring. He's retiring and he's moving.
You have been left off the roster.
In disgrace, I think it's fair to say.
He's going to start pottering around people's houses.
Is that the scandal we're thinking about? This brewing beneath the surface? Is there a Crocs scandal?
Yeah.
Could be. It's possible. But Asa, and let me throw up a comment we had here from someone. This is a nameless dude. Alfie Jones is an English accent version of Joel Waterman. I don't get why having both on one roster does when Prizo is both healthy and, frankly, a better center back than either. Faster, more decisive, can recover, better long range passing, better tight interplay, similar nasty bite. Okay. Everyone's allowed their. Is that you?
Nameless dude, aka Asa Rahman.
Nameless dude comments a lot. He knows his stuff. Nameless dude often says things that make a lot of sense, but not on this occasion. Sorry, nameless dude. People haven't seen Alfie Jones play.
Yeah.
Right. He is a top center back in the league championship, which is a higher level than the MLS. Right, he's been hurt a lot. He could have been in the Prem this year.
I think I pushed back on the like way above MLS and the top tier MLS when we see Ali Ahmed do what he did. Like, he is still the Whitecaps MLS guy. It's not like Norwich turned him into this, right? Mm-hmm. So I think this is where I think MLS and the top MLS is closer or on par with the championship. And I think that's why I raised the Alfie Jones question as well. Is like he has the championship like in his logo or in his name, but I think Ralph is like really close, and I think that's weird for people to wrap their head around because he's only been playing this position for like since September. But you know, if this continues come January or whatever, and Ralph continues to do this with the Whitecaps, is he not like getting calls from the championship? Based off of we've seen from, you know what I mean?
But there's still warts to his game, though. He's not. People are thinking that Ralph is this perfect center back. He's not there yet. He's young. He's inexperienced. He makes mistakes still.
Mm.
Right? There's no chance.
I don't see the mistakes. I think is what I watch him for 90 minutes with the Vancouver Whitecaps. The height comes up for sure. He can't change that. But I don't see him getting bullied by Denny Bwanga when they match up. You know what I mean? Like, I watch him go up against the best in MLS, and he does what we see him do every week. He steps in front. He wins the ball. He puts this ball through, setting up an assist or the pass before the assist. Like, I see it week in, week out with Ralph Priester. Like, I don't see many flaws in his game. It's just weird for people to understand that. And I know I keep, like,
yeah, but this is people underestimating Ralphie Jones. To me, it's not about Ralph Parisso. We all know what Ralph can offer, how good he can be, right? But he's still very young. This is people that haven't seen Ralphie Jones play. They haven't watched Middlesbrough games. There's no chance, not a chance right now, that Ralph Parisso at this point walks into Middlesbrough's first team as a centre-back. Not a chance. Maybe a year from now. I don't know. That's the way he's kind of, his trajectory is going. But people just who's Ralphie Jones? He's this new guy. No, he's not. He's been around for a while. He's been around the block. No, he's a top center half in a. Listen, we can debate MLS League Championship all you want. It's the gap's definitely getting closer. But the top of the championship, Craig, you're pleading it, is to me still a level above MLS.
Oh yeah, MLS is top heavy, but generally speaking, I mean, but then saying that. Because it's top heavy and the talent is just, all the money is put in the offensive zone, they cut corners on the defense. But if you got somebody like Priso that actually is dealing with these top players in MLS and doing it week in, week out, that to me is impressive. That is, no matter where you put the leagues, but there's no question the championship is above MLS overall, primarily because the defenders are better. The Premier League is another level again. Like those top, like that is the top tier, top in every aspect. Pace, ability, defending, attacking, space. Like it's just a different level. As we see with teams like Burnley, for instance, that lose five games in two last championship seasons that they were in. And then in the Premier League, they can hardly win a game. Mm-hmm. And that's just a gap in between. So they're hovering around that. Then you go from the bottom of the Premier League to the top of the Premier League. And those guys that are the very top that are in national teams, that's just fucking a level that we just only have one player. One player. Yeah. Maybe two if you want to throw Jonathan David in there. But I'm not sure. Is he a top player? No, I don't. He's not going to a top four team in the Premier League. Not a chance.
Spurs sniffing around today, apparently.
Yeah. I'll always defer to you, Forrest, on, you know, comparing the championship to MLS. And I think with your top teams to the top teams in MLS, aside from your outliers in terms of quality and talent that you're dropping in there, like your DPs, I think it's more comparable than we think, at least from what I've seen. But I will defer to you because I think that's where your expertise is. Mm-hmm. As it pertains to Priso versus Jones, I think Jones is more somebody who is built like Dan Byrne. He's like your tall, physical, reliable. He's going to win tackles. He's going to play simply. He's going to do the job on crosses. He's going to take care of the ball, that type of thing. I think Priso is more like your modern center back who's going to step into the midfield. He's an exceptional progressor of the ball. I don't think we have anybody in our back line who can do that, but he's outstanding also 1v1. He's great in those battles. Yes, what he lacks in stature, he makes up for in his ability to do the athletic endeavors all over the pitch. So I think if we're comparing Jones to Priso, I don't think that's necessarily the right conversation. I think what Nameless Dude does right is that Waterman is more a defender, even though he progresses the ball, he breaks lines out of the back line. He is more built like an Alfie Jones. He's more that type of defender. Whereas Priso, I think, gives you something a little bit different in the back line. And the last point I want to make is the reason that you take a Bumbido is because he's your game changer. He's the guy that we need in the back line in order to compete against top tier opponents. Just flat out, that's why he's there. He's not moving, I think. But Jones is there as well because you have until June 11th to sub out injured players. If you put a healthy Priso in, and you have, and then all of a sudden Jones comes along, leaps and bounds, you can't swap them out. So this gives Jesse Marsh an ability to change up until June 11th, the day before, 24 hours before that first match on June 12th. So we can debate all we want, but that's why, like, that's the kind of thinking behind this roster.
And he did choose Priso over, Waterman and Jones over Ralph Priso. Now, the question is though, Acer, and is a 60% Alfie Jones more valuable than a 80% Ralph Prezo. And that's a good argument to have. You wonder, I mean, is it worth taking a player that can only give you 20 minutes if he's a center back? You don't generally sub out center backs, right? They usually play the full 90 or close to it. Whereas Ralph can clearly play 90 minutes right now, or very close to it.
Yeah. Yeah. In my opinion, I think you got to take Prezo over Elfie just because of the lack of playing time coming off injuries, flip-flops yesterday.
Trainers.
Oh, trainer.
Yeah. I think there's a level of sharpness that Prezo has right now as well. Like, just the confidence of stepping into tackles.
Yeah.
I think he showed it. I know it's a friendly there. I'm curious to see how this plays out on Friday. I think that there is still – yeah, some room here to show what they can do.
I thought
another
the show.
Another thing about comparing leagues is that MLS don't even dominate the Mexican league.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you put the Mexican league? Because it's clearly better than MLS.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? Win the CONCACAF championship most of the time, and they're getting closer. We should be comparing the Mexican league to the championship out of the MLS.
Yeah, we're not even the best in North America. You're right.
Right, yeah. Like, not even best in the region.
Yeah. Now, but, I mean, listen, I think it's easy to get confused with MLS, where it's going. It's going in the right direction.
Yeah.
Just give it a few years.
It's
just
trending there isn't, up, for sure.
100%.
Yeah.
But it's an overreaction, underreaction.
Yeah, I'm just saying the players, the Ali Ahmed example, and I think someone like Berhalter now, when you have the players that are, ascending and kind of, I think that they're showing that they're at that championship level. Whereas, there would have been maybe top more of a gap. Are. Yeah, the top players are. And I think that's a good thing. I think that they're
Whitecaps are at the top end of the MLS, like the Spectre. There's no question about that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You're just spoiled, Asa. You know, you're seeing Whitecaps every week.
Exactly.
This amazing team. We're in Toronto and Montreal.
Yeah.
Okay. Our outlook on the MLS is probably a little bit different right now.
Yeah.
Right.
And Asa, I'll covering the Las Vegas Whitecaps.
Boo. Do you guys remember a couple of years ago, we had Armin on to explain the graphic that he'd made where it was an overlap of the CPL players with MLS players. And he was arguing that the best CPL players could just be dropped into MLS. And we're like, Armin, what the hell are you talking about? Like, no, that's not exactly it. They're always going to be the outliers. But I see if you're making the comparison MLS to championship, I think championship would be, ratcheted up that level up above MLS, but there would be considerable overlap compared to, say, the CPL to MLS argument. There's more parity in the championship. The quality is higher, but you have your outliers like your Ahmeds, like your Berhalters, like your top players outside of your DP, like your exceptional average players, core players to each team. I think, could they be dropped into the championship easily? Probably not, but I think you'd make an argument for a vast majority of those players.
Yeah.
Dubs just challenged our supporters who have graphic artistry to do a Venn diagram right now.
Yeah,
so,
that's right.
And further.
Or a Charmin's proper pie chart.
Exactly.
Oh, nice.
Dubs also said her third point was, you can debate all you want, but basically, and I was like, you know what? Basically, she mooted Footy Prime. Like it was, the show was over. You can debate all you want, but it doesn't matter.
But I'm right.
June 11th is the day. And I was like, I guess our show's done.
Your
I think we're finished right
moved.
Now.
Your point is moved.
the fact is, there's every chance that Alfie Jones and
Moops
are both still in the squad or in the squad, right?
Yeah.
And they announced it, right? I don't see too many left wingers being mentioned right now. You know, they haven't called up Dan Jeberson, as far as I know. He's not been at training. Junior Hoylett's not at training. If there was a chance, they'd be here by now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, true. Yeah.
I think they're going to decide. And no one has a problem. Just to be very clear, I'd be delighted if Ralph Prezo gets into this squad. Delighted. Mm-hmm. He's a huge part of this future.
Mm-hmm.
But people just don't rate Alfie Jones for some reason. Anyway, you got some more comments there, Dubs?
Yes, I sure do. I want to start with this one because it made me laugh. So this is our last show a couple of days ago. And Wonger was talking about like a return to play and getting used to the physicality of the game, taking knocks for Bumbito having the limp. And this person on YouTube, Alexander Rangelkovsky, 9141, sorry for the mispronunciation. Wonger might have returned one too many punt returns. LOL, love the content.
Wonger, do you think you got CTE?
No, but
I do.
And I've thought about it. I have a few friends who are, you know, who are worried about their future and find themselves with, especially guys who went on to play, you know, 5 to 10 years in the CFL, because it's obviously it's a cumulative thing. I track back my nuttiness to we were golfing a couple days ago, and we were I was under like the, you know, the hydro field. I grew up, my field at my house where I grew up is right by the hydro field.
Yeah,
and yeah,
like all the towers.
The towers are 80 meters away from my house. Then it was a train track. So like I grew up on the wrong side of the tracks, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah.
All electrical current
running through your head.
Oh, geez. You know, I'm electric. I mean, I was an electric boogaloo back in the day, a little break dancing.
And... Oh, my God. Electric boogaloo.
Yeah. You need your phone charge. Just plug into water.
Had a bloody MASH comment last show. Now it's electric boogaloo.
Craig needed to charge his vape, and he was trying to get it into the. Now all you had to do, Craig, was stick it in my ear. Next time, yeah, we'll figure that out. Yeah,
I beg your pardon.
Please don't take that sentence out of context.
No. By the way, did you see the Canada Soccer Player video? Is Paolo Senra interviewing? Oh, who was it? And they had the record player.
I didn't see this one.
It's so good. Oh, no idea. It wasn't Promise.
I just thought it was tragic that they took off that series interviewing Kamal Miller. I was like, why? Yeah. Why would you do that?
I are like, that's not the right one to start with.
No.
This rate might be still seeing Kamal. But no, I forget who it was now. But basically, they're looking at records and record players. And you go, wow, they used to put music on this? He's showing how it works. It was really good, actually. It made me feel really, really old.
But it's kind of like when you ask kids to... how they would use an old telephone, like the rotary telephone.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
They're like, what? How?
Or what, even, what is this?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Not how do you use it?
What do you think this is? Yeah.
It's pretty obvious, though, isn't it? The phone thing's like, okay, I know it looks different to your phone, but it's still got numbers on it. Figure it out, you idiots.
Again, endearing yourself to all the demographics who listen to me.
So all you young listeners,
okay, I'm gonna.
Okay, go ahead. Sorry,
I'm gonna fire in another comment here. I got to make this bigger? Speaking of demographics, here I need my readers. This is from Junior Canuck One on YouTube. I don't think that you guys gave nearly enough props to Jaden Nelson for how brilliant he was. This is versus Uzbekistan the other night. He was MVP of that match. I think that is because you don't believe he can duplicate that performance. He is, after all, only 23 years old, so he can still improve a lot. Let's not forget that Ahmed and Schaffelberg are questionable, too, from a health standpoint. So another winger may be crucial.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we underestimate. I actually thought that when he came on, we said that I was like, that he played for like he was playing for his life. Like,
yep.
It was unbelievable. I thought he was fantastic. So I don't think we underplayed that. But.
No, I think we gave him some love. Lots of love. But
yeah, I mean, but I was wondering what Asa thought it. Because he was a former Vancouver player that you saw kind of, you know, we talk about redemption arcs, but he kind of came back from, you know, the way down on the bench.
Yeah.
Right.
He, the conversation came up after a kickabout the other night with some of the soccer guys locally. And loved seeing him do what he does because his first match with the Vancouver Whitecaps was against Portland and he had, three assists and a goal. It was nuts.
Yeah,
and people fell in love with this kid if they didn't know who he was and thought he was on his way to 20 goals and 40 assists or whatever it was. He is different. He is special. His speed is exceptional. And it was nice to see him get those minutes. And like Craig had mentioned, you know, played like he had something to prove, and he did. And I think that he made a serious case for himself to potentially make this group if those guys, Shaf and Ali Ahmed, Shaf in particular, I think, if he's unfit or unable to really turn a corner here and then get any sort of minutes with the test match or this friendly on Friday, then why not Jaden? I think it was really nice to see him try to get on the ball as well. And he's so quick. He's good on the outside, but he had some really clever little touches centrally as well. I think his games continue to evolve. As the person had mentioned, yeah, he's only 23 years old, so he's still young, still developing. We're seeing him continue to grow here. And then there's nobody on the roster outside of like Davies, I guess, that has that pace. You know, it is ridiculous. There was one that, yeah, looked like it's going out of play. He keeps it in play and stays, you know, in control of the situation. He has these moments where, yeah, his speed is on another level. Then the way he takes the goal, the finish, it's a well-played ball by Tanny. Good weight, but he opens up and just calmly slots it in. He looks like he's in good spirits, in good form right now. So I'd like to see him get in this group as well, especially when we have so many injured guys. This guy's shown that he can go and play 90 if he needs to. Like, he's fit. He's good to go. So, yeah, we need more of those guys.
And he gives you a different look. He's that dribbling, mazy, creative player. Yes. And he put in the defensive shift as well. I think the knock on Nelson in the past has been consistency and his final ball. And I think he did both of those things very well versus Uzbekistan.
Mm. Yeah, bang on. I think that was the thing that, some Caps fans maybe would have gotten frustrated with him last season. Was he'd hang on too much maybe at times. Or, you know, the decision-making and the final pass wasn't quite on, but it was on with Canada. And he's a player that I think is, continuing to improve and work on his game. And it looks like we're seeing, like, an even better Jaden Nelson. Small sample size. I'd love to see more of it. But, yeah, he jumped off the screen for me.
As he told us on Free Prime, he can play the right side, he can play centrally, he can play left as well. I think there's a half decent chance, maybe more than that, that we see both Ralph and Jaden Nelson in this squad.
And we are playing Switzerland, so it'd be good to have a Swiss Army knife.
Oh, Wonger, you've been sitting on that for a while.
No, I just farted and it came out.
I can see a really inappropriate thumbnail. Knife crime. Right. But honestly, I mean, listen, unless Jesse sticks with his initial squad and says, you know, all these guys I picked were good enough and they're going to be healthy enough, then in that regard, you might see Jaden there because he's the closest to Marcelo Flores that we have, even though we have no one close to him, right?
Yeah, you're right.
He's more of a natural fit than Ralph is. But I think we discussed it.
He'll do it differently, but he plays in a similar – like.
Yeah, takes guys on.
Yeah, he's an attacking player. Right?
Yeah, exactly. I just think that I think Jesse knew full well that he had the 24-hour window to change this squad, and let's give these guys as long as possible and then we'll see. But I don't think every single one of those injured players are going to be on this squad. And now, if I'm a betting man, it's probably going to be Alfie Jones if it's going to be any of them. Just
Sharms, off camera before we started, we were talking about B-roll. So what B-roll is, Sharms is in Montreal right now with the team. B-roll is when you just take photo pictures and video of what's going on and use it for putting together stories. And the reason why I'm bringing it up, Asa brought up Ali. Have you seen Ali moving? What? Because this has been a long time for him.
He's close. Yeah, he's close.
You see him playing running full speed? Like, where is he at?
Yeah,
because he's on the, sensational, right?
We only see the first 15 minutes, right? The group.
Yeah.
And then you've got some guys in trainers. You've got Fonzie by himself. Shaft's part of the main group warming up. And so is Ali. So I think he's close. They've got these different names of different, like, Fonzie and Shaft are still officially returned to play protocol, I think. So they're not part of that main group, even though Shaft is warming up with them. Ali, I think, is pretty close, but I don't think he's good to go this Friday. Maybe some minutes off the bench, perhaps.
You'd be surprised or not surprised if he got like 20 minutes off the bench or 10 minutes off the bench at the end of the game.
I mean, it's so hard having not been allowed to see practice, right? Training. Uh-huh. I just don't know. Mm-hmm. 20 minutes wouldn't surprise me. Let's go that way.
Okay, that's good. That's fair. Just because
I would be surprised because since they have that match the day after as well.
Yeah, yeah.
You give them the extra day. You've also got the travel that you have to factor in. I don't think you risk him. Like, he and Schaff were the only two that weren't available for that match in Edmonton. So I think Marsh keeps them for Saturday for that kind of closed door match. But what do you guys think? Like, we saw a full squad rotation, and maybe this is derailing where you wanted it to go, Sharms, but I'm going to say it anyway. We had kind of what looked like his preferred 11 to start. they were tentative. It looked a little bit like, you know, they needed more time to gel. And then when the rest of the players came on, you saw Richie come off, you saw Moyes come off, changed a little bit, looked a bit better. And then the second half was completely changed because I think those players were playing for their spots.
Yeah.
Where do we think Marsh goes with his 11, at least to start versus Ireland? Do we think, I don't think we see Jones. I don't think we see Moyes just because of how poor they looked. And I think they need more time to recover. But where do we think he does just to begin the match?
Who wants that? Craig?
Well, you probably have a better idea, Sharm, just because you've seen sort of what's going on in training, but and maybe the idea of shape and things like that. But although it doesn't sound like you see an awful lot in the time that you have.
We see nothing. We see, you know, you see 50 minutes. It's just warm ups. Yeah. It's all you see.
Yeah.
A little one touch, maybe. That's it.
There might be more tinkering going on in the closed door matches and there we might see against Ireland. They might not want to show their hand too much against Ireland.
Ireland's also an extremely young squad. They're going to be up for it. They're going to be fast paced all over the place, which
physical
is going to be a challenge. Physical, yeah. So yeah, I good question. I mean, a week out from the World Cup, man, you want to see what you have. You want certain players need minutes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? And they need minutes together.
Yeah,
together,
competitive minutes. Yeah, it's true.
That's why you might see it, depending on where Moyes is today. You might see Moyes in the second half.
We kind of need to see Moyes today, don't you think?
We just don't know. Well,
no, but hopefully and Cornelius are banting the ball around even for 20 minutes out there together.
What's a banting?
Banting it. I think of
just play along, guys.
You know what? Cats do
this. Inventor of insulin.
Dr. Robert.
Who's got low blood sugar?
Dr. Banting.
Give him a break.
We didn't see Joel right in Edmonton. So he's a certainty. Does he start? Because you need that rhythm, right?
Ralph starts, doesn't he? You got to see what Ralph can offer now.
Ralph starts, but like Moyes, I'm concerned. Did you hear Jesse yesterday on one of the TSN shows, whether it was Overdrive or otherwise, that Moyes, it wasn't just like he got a knock in that collision with Cornelius. He felt sensitivity where he'd broken his tibia.
Yeah.
Like that is concerning.
Yeah.
Although someone reached out to us on socials, I forget who it was now. Someone has recovered from broken leg.
Mm. Yeah.
And they say that when you first get back, it does hurt at the point of the break.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
It does.
I mean, Wonga's fingers still hurts him.
No. I broke my arm. Broke my arm in half playing football too.
It sounds way worse when you say I broke it in half.
Oh, I did. It was crazy. It was broken right here and it was poking out, not out of the skin.
Oh, kind
of
compound.
No, it wasn't full of compound. It wasn't a compound, but you could see where the bone was sticking out.
Like a Swiss Army knife.
Yeah. It was like, you know, those horror movies where ghosts are trying to come out of the skin or coming out. Like that's where. What's crazy is the doctor goes, we can do this. We can shoot your arm up. That's going to hurt because we got to put the needle in the bone. And then, we can do it the fast way. So I go, look, let's just get this over with. I'm being all tough. I'm 14. He puts it flat on the operating table and slams it down. And I scream, and he goes, we're going to have to do this one more time.
Oh, my God.
Drives the two bones together to mesh them. I'm screaming off. I'm, like, almost peeing my pants. He goes, okay, it's done. Wraps me up. I go, man, that wasn't that fast way. It wasn't great. And he goes, no, but can you do me a favor? Can you go talk to this little girl in the wheelchair and tell her it won't hurt? So I went and told her it wasn't going to hurt.
You liar.
I was lying to her.
I hope that haunts you to this day.
It does. I felt so bad after. But I was also probably out of my mind off of like pain, like no pain meds, just like full, you know, your body adrenaline. Is pulsing through adrenaline. And I didn't even, I said, of course I'll tell. Yeah.
I broke my fifth metatarsal in two places and I'm on the x-ray table. And the guy there saying, listen, you know, we can, he's trying to set it himself, right? And then taking another picture. And he goes, we can, you know, put some kill the pain here if you want, but it's going to take a while. I'd much rather just do it now. So I'm trying to be tough as well. Yeah, go ahead. You go ahead. And he's doing it. And then he's taking pictures. And he's like, it's not quite there. Does it again three or four times this. I've never experienced a pain like it. But the adrenaline, I'm fucking drenched. It's like being in a pool. I'm so wet, just soaking wet of sweat, pouring off me, trying to be the tough guy. I'm thinking, what an idiot. Why would I have said no to that? Mm-hmm. And in the end, he got it in place, though, and I didn't even need a cast. Amazing. Oh, was that a cast? Yeah, a temporary cast. But anyway,
all right.
It's stupid, but the adrenaline, it's amazing what it does, right, with injuries, yeah. Adrenaline. You yeah. make really stupid decisions.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
They shouldn't they shouldn't ask you these questions. They should tell you what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. I've told you guys about my mom, hey, on the table, like she's about to deliver twins. She's in labor and she needs to have a cesarean. But my mom, being an English teacher, overanalyzes all of the words. She's like the supreme pedant, right? And the doctor doesn't say, can you feel this? As he prods her abdomen, he says, does this hurt? So my mom thinks about it and she says, no. And he's like, okay, here we go. And he slices open her abdomen, her blood pressure spikes, and then they've got to put like the mask on her to knock her out. And my dad's got two kids at home, my older brother and myself. And then he thinks he's going to have to take care of four kids by himself because he's worried about like the state of my mom at that point. And she's okay, but she has no memory of it all except for that conversation. Isn't that insane?
Oh, insane.
Yeah.
That's horrendous.
And then you had twins. Did they do the same thing with your twins?
They did not. No, but okay. That was definitely in my head.
Look, your dad's first thought is, well, who's going to make dinner then?
Yeah, what about me?
Yeah, who's going to take care of me?
What the fuck?
TV dinners for life.
Hey, should we get to the big question quickly?
Sure.
Kind of gone over this, but I want to do just because I want to hear the music again.
Yeah, no, I might have to pop off because I do have a meeting that I'm supposed to be on.
Oh, well, it's very important for you. Fine, Craig, go.
Wait, no, but don't go before I've got the big cue.
Do you have it? Cue?
One, two, three, four.
Ring, ring. What's that sound? Big question that needs answer. Ring.
What was the question again?
Okay, Craig, you can go now.
Oh, okay.
Thanks, Bill.
Yeah, good to see you. Thanks, Asa. Legend.
Yeah, see you, Craig.
Where are we here? Okay, so the big question is: let's say the football gods, whoever they are, who are the football gods? Is it a football god or a football gods? I like to think there's one football god.
I think gods.
Pele. Pele's one. Pele's one.
You think there's more than one?
I do.
Okay, sure. Name them.
I don't know. Pushkas, Pele.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. Who else?
Pushkas isn't dead. I'm joking. He is. So the football gods allow us to fast track one player to 100% health for the first match. Mm. Who is it? Is it a Promise, a Moyes, a Fonzie? Promise, by the way, taking full training. He looks good.
Wait. Moyes. I need to contextualize this, though. Is it for that one game only?
Yeah, thank you. I was going to ask the same thing. Or
you're just entering the World Cup in full strength.
Okay.
100% health. He might get injured in that first game. He's not available for the second game. You're overthinking this right now, okay?
You know.
One player who's healthy, for Christ's sakes.
Charms didn't say, did this hurt? He said, can you feel this?
No. who's it? Is it? Let's break it down to Fonzie or Moyes. Shall we? They're I think, the two most important players at the moment.
Yeah.
Hey, so who you got?
Fonzie. He's special. I think we sometimes, because we see, I think you mentioned this, Charms, because we've seen this team play without Fonzie for so long, we sometimes overlook or forget how elite he is. He is our best player. He's the captain of this team. He gives us something different. He can play further up the pitch. He can play at left back. I can do so many things for this team. And this team, I think, has gotten better over the last few years as well. He's the one for me. I think he slots in there. It'd be great to get Moyes, I think, in full fitness. It's a good debate between those two players because we have other injuries at center back as well. But Fonzie's just special, elite. It's got to be Fonzie for me.
Dubs.
Good luck.
I'll disagree.
Moyes. Yeah.
It's a great answer, but it's easy for me to play contrarian because like my first instinct was to go with Moyes because I think Fonzie, yes, we forget everything that he can lend as one of the world's best left backs. And that's not even entering into the debate about whether or not you play him further up the pitch, but he's a luxury player at this point. I think this team has figured out how they can play without him and still have success. Mm-hmm. And Sharms, again, a couple shows ago was like, well, define success. Have they won trophies? No, they certainly have not, but they've figured out how to deploy the right players, the right combinations, creating those partnerships on the pitch. Yes, goals in open play has been an issue, and that creativity in the final third as well, goal scoring just in general. But I think they know how to execute a high pressing, high tempo, aggressive style of play to get results. And they can do that without Alphonso Davies. Can they do it without Moise Bumbido? That to me is the question.
Wunger.
It's weird because I automatically I went immediately to Fonzie, but then I was thinking about the domino effect with Moyes and how if he's not there, there's a big question mark. And just to our, there's no point to debate this anymore. You know, like it puts up so many variables, right? It's not as easy as Fonzie not being there. And I think I have to agree with Dubs. If Moyes is fully healthy, and him and Derek can play that match through the first match and then get comfortable again together, that's setting up the team for success in a different way than Fonzie coming back and being a star for, you know, a 20-minute run. And, yeah, I'm on Team Dubs for this one. Motherfucker, yeah, I didn't know.
You'll love it here. Come on in.
God. No.
I think Asa makes a, you know, a great point that we do totally forget how good Fonzie is, and no one else will present the fear and the presence on the pitch that Fonzie does to opponents. But this team always seems to give up chances the way they play. Mm-hmm. So high up the pitch, you need to have pace at the back. You have to have it. And there's no one quicker at center back than Moise Bembido. We saw it even in the last match. I know he got a bit clumsy and he kind of staggered and almost destroyed Derek Cornelius in the process. 1-4. That was scary as hell, by the way.
Yeah.
But it was also a crazy pitch. First time out there going full speed on.
Oh, no, for sure. That, yeah. Which presents in itself a
exactly.
That's real all. Worry, yeah. Right? I mean, how long do you need to get your minutes up and your timing? Forget the match fitness for a second. It's the timing, right? But I would probably lean towards Moyes as well, and that's taking nothing away from Fonzie, just because we're used to it and we've seen they're a very good team without him. But
if you're looking at the health meter for both of them, though, Moyes is probably at like 60, I guess, with the little setback or whatever happened in the last game. Fonzie's probably at like 40, maybe. So I feel like I'm filling up that meter higher.
I like that, though.
And then,
I get Moyes. Yeah,
I like that.
More
out of
the dog's
like
giving
that
you more.
That's right. Thank you.
The half Asian in me is reading your mail right now. Yeah, there's an abacus behind Asa. No one's seeing. He's adding things up. He's timing things. He's got his calculator.
Yeah. There's no crackle in terms of his mic. Is the abacus dogs. Moving?
Right.
Yes. Abacus. Listen, let's hope they're both healthy, right? But it's going to take a while to get there, I think, certainly.
Mm-hmm.
Dubs, do you want to end with one more comment? When you want
Do this one. Dubs doesn't like self-promotion, as we know. But our friend, I think he's out of Ottawa, Paul OG Ghetto. This was arguably the best episode of The Broads ever, not including interviews, which are a different beast. I motion for more AC content, hopefully in her time zone and not before her workday, so she can really be in her element. Do I hear the motion seconded? Anyways, Dubs and the broadcast, Shireen and Cigna had AC Lang on the show yesterday.
Of WSoccer.ca. It's a great resource for anything women's soccer. It's
amazing. Yeah, absolutely.
But we're building our own community around the broadcast, so please keep listening. Dubs is the amazing captain of the ship and navigates it. Amazingly every single week. So Dubs, thank you for all the hard work you put into it. Yeah.
You're welcome. You're just feeling guilty because you didn't tweet yesterday and I had to do it.
I am.
It was a really good show though, Dubs.
See?
Thanks, Asa.
Yeah.
Surprisingly so.
An asshole.
Speaking of community, we have a Patreon account now.
Yeah, we do.
What do you call it? A Patreon account? Patreon. You have a Patreon.
That's right.
Right? Just call it that. It's funny, someone at the airport came up to me and said how much he loves listening to Footy Prime. His name's John. Shout out to John. Ooh. Great guy. Fulham.
You had a few of those, eh? You had a few footy primers.
Yeah. We got footy primers all around Canada, apparently.
That's great.
And he was saying, you guys have a Patreon? I said, well, he said, you should get a Patreon. Right. I said, we've just announced we have one.
Nice.
So it is a work in progress. You can find a lot of content there. We're going to build it incrementally through the World Cup. It's like $3 a month for this first tier here. $3 a month. I mean, even we can afford that.
Yeah.
And we haven't signed in yet. So
there's four subscribers.
People coming in, then you can afford it a little bit easier, too.
Yeah,
we'll pay you $3.
We can start paying Acer a little bit as well.
That's right.
But yeah, it's going to be a great place for you guys to chat, and we'll be using it a lot extensively for your thoughts and comments for the World Cup and beyond. So please look at it, see if you like it, and know we're going to grow it. It's literally, we just opened it up like last week, so it's a work in progress. But you won't regret it. Well, you might, but you can afford to regret it. Like and subscribe anyway in our regular platforms as well. 5-star reviews, always very handy to us. They help the old algorithm, apparently. Give us comments, as mentioned, and you saw today. We often regale your stupidity, and we appreciate that. Is there anything else before I say farewell? And don't worry, I have the extra for BetMGM. Don't worry. No?
No, you're good. You've been doing great. Well done, Sharps. Well done.
This is great.
Asa, thanks, pal. We'll get you on very soon.
Appreciate it.
As if Jimmy wasn't even here.
Always a treat.
Like most shows. Pretty fun is brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary. Laters.
And I'll see you later, Sharms.
Oh, yeah. You're coming to the press conference.
Yeah. And Don Garber is visiting Stats Saputo as well. It's going to be a busy afternoon.
He is. What's that about? Do you know?
I don't know. I was talking to Asa about it.
I saw degrees.
I don't know anything.
Is it a farewell tour? Because he's leaving, right?
I don't know. Does he come to town for bad news or does he come to town for good news?
What would the bad news be?
I don't know.
Vancouver?
Maybe. Yeah.
No, he's not liar,
pants on fire, Don Garber.
Yeah. we're going to find out. We'll find out today. Yep. All right. Everyone, bye.
Footy Prime is brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary. Check us out on YouTube at youtube.com/footyprime and subscribe. Leave us some comments. We'd love to hear those. And check us out on Instagram at footyprimeig and on Twitter at footy_prime. And check out weareFootyPrime.com. Sign up for our newsletter.